Welcome to episode 25 of Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent and trainer, Tina Zaremba. Today I'm talking with voiceover talent and founder of Voiceover Gurus, Linda Bruno. Listen in as Linda shares how she found voiceovers, or rather how it found her, thanks to her dad, the realities of the voiceover business today, and why she's thrilled to see other voiceover talent, including students she coaches, win in this industry. Hint, it has to do with a law of attraction. You're in for a treat. Without further ado, here's Linda. So Linda Bruno, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Hey, thanks for asking me, Tina.
I so appreciate it. I want to ask, because as I say, they don't talk about voiceovers in Career Day. How did you find voiceovers, or did it find you?
You know, it kind of found me. My dad worked in advertising. This was back in the roaring 80s in Miami. And he asked me if I ever wanted to come down and watch a voiceover session happen, because he used to do all the ad campaigns and hire the talent and do all that good stuff. So I, at the time, had done theater and a lot of singing. And I thought, yeah, you know what, I'll take a shot at this. And what can it hurt for me to go see a voiceover session in action? Because I didn't even know what it was, you know? Mm-hmm. So I go and I see this woman in this tiny little padded booth with like a clear window, and she's working. And my father's giving her direction and saying, okay, can you shave off a half a second there? Can you lengthen it by 2 seconds here? And then she's doing it. And I'm thinking, what is she doing? I want to do that. And it just kind of, you know, ignited this passion for me. And thankfully, she was teaching. So she was teaching small classes. And she, you know, as a favor to my dad, let me come into the first class and kind of auditioned me behind the mic. And it was me. I was 18 at the time.
I was just going to ask how old you were. And what, do you remember the name of the coach?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Connie Zimmett. She was my mentor, who is no longer with us. But she was instrumental. So she was teaching. She was a big-time voiceover actress, big-time jingle singer out of New York. And she kind of had the South Florida market, you know, covered. But she was like the voice of Burdines. That's a store down in Florida. She had a lot of really huge campaigns and is a legend, really, for coaching. So I got a chance to work with her. And she, like, said, hey, I think you've got a lot of natural talent and you could make money doing this. So that was all I had to hear, really. And that started me off. I started training with her, and then, you know, I got into radio later, and it's been a long path since then, because that's been since 1988, but that's how I started.
Let's see, I got to back up. Do you think your dad knew you had a natural talent for voiceovers, and that's why he recommended you coming in?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I only did like theater and stage stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe he thought, you know, hey, this might be something that might interest her.
That's cool.
Yeah, it just, you know, I fell into it that way.
You mentioned this was not yesterday, that it wasn't one of these things where you walk in and then the next day you're making $100,000, which I think is a huge misconception in our industry that people think, all right, you know, it's easy. So how hard can it be? And B, that you're going to start making money yesterday. Can you clear some of that misconception up and what your path has looked like since that first time you were watching Connie be directed by your father to now?
Well, I mean, let's face it, you and I both know the industry has changed tremendously in the last 25 years alone. Mm-hmm. When I moved to New York in 97, because I had kind of exhausted my outlets of booking clients down in Fort Myers, Florida, which was the market I had wound up in. And I had gotten like the biggest client there, which was an auto dealership. And I mm-hmm. thought, you know what, I want to do more than this. I want to try and go after national jobs. And back then we didn't have the internet to help us. We didn't have any way to do that. Everything was face-to-face, or, you know, sending stuff in the mail, cassettes, CDs in the mail. Yeah. So I took a chance in 97 and I left everything behind and moved to New York, which is when I got my first New York agent. You know, back then it was all face-to-face and getting in front of casting directors and going out on audition after audition and hoping that you book something, and then going to a big studio, you know, and doing the job in Manhattan or if you lived in LA. But now, you know, it's everybody has a home studio. Everybody has a means to make money, which is great. But by the same token, you're right, that misconception that you're just going to instantly make money doesn't exist, because there's so much competition. there are a lot of jobs out there, but there's a lot of competition and things have kind of gotten watered down for the talent pool.
I was going to say there's like Fiverr and some sites that are really, unfortunately, cutting the rates for talent too.
Yes, yes. And because of the industry change, you know, maybe, you know, because you're also a New York talent that auditioned with casting directors and still do, the number that we used to audition with was a lot lower back then. And now it is like 1,000 people will audition for a job. And it's a complete like shot in the dark at this point.
Yeah.
So the industry has really, really changed as a result of, you know, the internet and the ease of being able to build your own studio.
How do you distinguish yourself now? Because there's so much competition out there. Is it more a focus on your marketing efforts or is it working on the craft?
I think it's both. I think you definitely, definitely have to work on your craft. You have to just get really, really good and comfortable behind a microphone. But marketing is very important, but that as well, some of the avenues have become very diluted, you know, with social media. I come from the school of thought that if you like really, you know, hone in on your skills and what you do really well at, and you start to book some jobs, I'm a big customer service client relationship person. If I can provide great customer service for someone, then it's just like any other business. They're going to hopefully remember you and come back to you again. So I built my business based on that and also on referrals because, you know, I did a great job for XYZ company. And then they thought, oh, you know what? We're going to recommend you to some other friends of mine. And that's how I've kind of been able to like differentiate myself a bit in the big sea of people.
Do you ever ask for referrals or is it just, do you hope they refer you?
I haven't actually directly asked. It just kind of happens, which
okay.
is nice. Yeah. But yeah, I'm sure you could always ask and be direct about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I'm always looking though. I'm always out there marketing, trying to find other avenues to introduce myself to different production companies and ad agencies. And that's what my assistant helps me with a lot. She does a lot of research to try and find, you know, she does the legwork in essence of trying to find places that may not have heard of my talents or me or, you know, heard my demo before. And it's just like a number, it gets to be a numbers game at some point, you know, where you just get yourself out there to enough people and you never know, production company will hire you. And then maybe they'll put you on a decent campaign that comes through there.
Huh. So did you start off focusing on a specific, I have so many questions. That's why I did that. I was like, oh my God, which one do I say first? And my brain about short circuit. Did you start off focusing on a specific lane or did you focus on everything?
Like lane for what? What do you mean?
Yeah, you can't read my brain. lane for voiceovers. Like I'm going to focus on auto spots or I'm going to focus on promos or I don't know, IVR.
Well, that's where the training comes in and the craft, you know, cultivating your craft, because as you work with various teachers and coaches that maybe specialize in certain things like promo or, you know, commercial copy or character work, you may find that you have talents that you didn't realize you had. And I started to just find that maybe I was a natural fit for auto spots. You know, I just happened to be very good at reading quickly, reading with power, but not sounding too crazy. I was able to find that balance. It just came naturally for me. You know, other things don't really come naturally for me. I mean, audiobooks don't come naturally for me, you know, and I found that out. It just doesn't work. I don't sound great doing it. And so I don't pursue it. I really feel like you kind of have to try it all, you know, in some way, shape or form, if it means getting coached in it, or maybe you audition for a job and maybe you get it, you know, an IVR type of work is very, that's a whole different avenue of voiceover. You know, that's about consistency. That's about being able to mimic, being able to continually give the same read 1,000 times in a row if you have to. You kind of have to, with your training, find where your natural talents lie. My voice has always been naturally just like upbeat and friendly sounding.
Yeah.
So I have to work at sounding dramatic or, you know, a little more the gravitas voice that they asked for, you know, they ask for, I have to work at that. So I naturally book more upbeat things. It doesn't mean I can't do the other things. I just naturally kind of, you know, gravitate, the auditions gravitate towards more of the upbeat read for me.
I remember visiting your studio, and you worked with me on promos, copy, and you had copy for Disney, and I was so intimidated by it because it was so perky and upbeat. And when you read it, it was like, oh my God, it was just like butter coming off your lips. It's like, so envious that you have that, where you can do perky, but it doesn't sound aspartame-y. It sounds really genuine.
It's the mix that you have to find. But I mean, where are your natural? What do you find that you get naturally, you know, booked
for? It's more this serious, kind of straightforward, just the facts. Here's how it is, or the mom kind of Clorox read.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the like the real perky stuff. That I say real perky, it's, oh, I tend to get into this like hyper frenetic, crazy, scary place.
It's just uncomfortable for you right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't mean you can't, you know, nail it down the line with the work, but it's just uncomfortable. Like I'm truly not comfortable being Miss Cheerleader and talking to three-year-olds like this. You know, that's not like a comfortable thing for me, but I just know that I have to turn that on for that promo, that type of promo.
But you turn it on in a really natural way. It doesn't seem like you're fake. So thanks. I want to pivot for a moment. Well, it's not really full pivot here to talk about, I know that you developed a business here. You've always been about paying it forward, and you developed a business called voiceover.guru, correct? Is that the
yes.
Right name? I got that correct. And yes. Basically explain what that is.
Well, I got a couple friends together because I wanted to offer coaching services from the perspective of real world voice actors that are in the business every day. And I just thought it was kind of missing in the marketplace because, you know, there's a lot of voiceover schools, there's, you know, coaching places, but at my main job and my friend's main career, all we do is do voiceovers. That's it. Right. We don't have anything else that we're doing. So we are entrenched, which means that we can give up to the minute information on the latest things that are happening in the industry. Like, you know, when voices.com came in and did what they had to do, we know about all of these trends. We know what's booking jobs as well, because either we're working or we're not. I know that when I was solely dealing with an agent and not having my own clients, I was in the dark a lot about what was booking jobs and what was out there. I didn't know. I knew what I got sent, you know, to audition for, but because I wasn't in the inner workings of actually talking with clients, I wasn't getting feedback. I was in the dark for a long time. So I had to kind of take control of my own career and really get into the nitty gritty of it, so to speak. So a few friends of mine and I are on this site. I run the site, but I have my friends on there to offer their expertise. And we just use it more of a, like, you know, a coaching mentoring site, but it's people that are actually doing this every single day. So the schedule varies. There's no like usually set classes. It's when we decide to throw a class, you know, or hold a class, we hold it. And then if the dates work out for people, great. And I'm very much also a coach that coaches on an individual basis. So say you're not ready to make a demo, but you're like, you know, 95% of the way there. I don't believe in places that are like, oh, in 6 weeks we'll teach you and you'll have a full-fledged demo.
Ugh.
Because how do you know that the person's going to be ready? You know, I have students that have been practicing for a year, 2 years, and they're still not ready to make a demo because you're going to get judged on that demo. And you want to make sure it's a great demo. So I get very leery of schools that make these crazy promises for people, because then those people wind up contacting me and saying they're unhappy with the demo.
Right. Why haven't I booked anything? Why hasn't someone signed me? I spent all this money on this demo. I know. I tell everyone, run if anyone's offering you like a guarantee of, you know, oh, you're going to get signed, or, you know, I wish, honestly, when I got into the business, I went to acting school. So I felt like, well, how hard can it be? And I just went and did a demo. Mistake, because it's a completely different beast. It's like acting on steroids. Had no voiceover coaching before I did my demo. I mean, luckily it worked out pretty well for me, but it was very rough for a whole year of not booking a darn thing and crying and being so frustrated.
Yeah.
So I commend you that you're transparent and truthful with your students.
I tell them you're going to get a really honest opinion about everything. And I'm going to be honest with you on how difficult it is too, you know, and how this career is one that, you know, you better love it, because you got to get in there and you have to hustle. We have to hustle. Yeah. You know, you have to every day be doing something towards your career. But that also includes, I had a student call me the other day. He's not a student yet, but he's thinking about, well, he was asking me information. He wanted information on rates. Mm-hmm. I can't give you information on rates. You know, you're at a different level. And, you know, I don't know where you're at in your career. I can point you in a few directions to a couple of websites that could probably give you some rate breakdowns. But we started chatting and I said, you know, do you have a demo? And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, you need a demo. Have you gotten training? Oh, I got training like 10 years ago. Mm. Yeah, you have to get training. You have to work at this craft, because it's like learning the violin. You're not going to just pick it up and start playing in Carnegie Hall.
Mm-hmm. I think because everyone talks, they think that it's just so easy.
Right.
You know, how hard can it be? But it's actually telling a story and being able to understand the intention mm-hmm. behind all those words.
Yeah, and being able to convey authenticity
mm-hmm.
and also being able to roll with the trends. You know, what's booking jobs now? I had a job in the city on Friday, and I'm 47. I'm going to be 48 this year. And
you don't look any older than 35,
yeah,
sister.
Yeah. But I had five producers in the room with me, and they were all 30 years old.
Oh, so,
yes, right. So millennials are hiring us right now. Millennials yeah. are our boss. So you need to figure out how to do a read that a millennial wants to hear. I coach about things like that, because that's reality and nobody tells you that. And I know, because I just experienced it on Friday. It was so funny because they're like, oh, we hired you because from your demo, because you have great range. And yet they still had me do the same flat read that all the millennials seem to want. And I'm thinking, well, there's so much for my range. I guess, but to them, I had great range. So, okay. But have you noticed that with your auditions? I mean, you probably see all the time. Authentic, non-announcer, conversational.
Yeah. And for me, I just feel like I have to just completely be me, which in some ways is harder because you have to, I was talking, do you know Kay Bess? She's on the West Coast. I interviewed her for this podcast and she was saying, if you live an authentic life, you have an authentic voice. And that,
that's
you know,
good.
Yeah, I thought so too. I was like, ooh.
That's deep words. I like it.
Yeah. But she was talking about that you really have to know what your point of view is in life. And that it's just like, you can't compartmentalize yourself and create, now I'm authentic in my voiceovers, but then in every other area of your life, you have no point of view.
Right.
You don't know what your beliefs are. So that's where I'm kind of focused on right now, to be truthful. And it just kind of lined up with what Kay said so beautifully, is really looking at, okay, what do I honestly believe? Not what do my parents tell me to believe, not what society, but how do I feel about things? Really getting truthful, in addition That's to good. Cultivating the relationships with clients and potentially new clients. I want to ask you, we met at an audition, remember, years
yes.
ago?
Yes.
And you were so warm and open. It kind of surprised me and freaked me out a little bit, because I was used to the New York, you know, you go to a casting office and people are sizing people up, even though it's a voiceover audition.
I know.
And you were not like that at all. And you were so, I was working my day job then and was miserable and doing voiceovers completely like, you know, I had two personalities going on. It would be like, oh, I've got to take lunch. And it would be 10 a.m. and I'm coming to an audition. It's terrible. Oh my God, I was going crazy.
Do what you got to do. Yeah.
That's right. You were so, just so comforting and supportive. I want to ask you about that, because you had no sense of like, you could have viewed me as competition, but you didn't. And so where does that come from? And that genuine support that you, I know you gave it to me, you give it to me, and I know that you give that to everyone else as well.
I believe that there's enough work for all of us, and I'm a big law of attraction person.
Me too, LOA.
Yeah, yes, so I feel that, you know, giving is really the only way to ever receive. I mean, we're not competition. There's a part that's right for you and there's a part that's right for me. And even though you and I were on the same audition because we had similar vocal qualities or whatever our agents thought at that time, again, it's so subjective in this business that, you know, one client might think I sound like his whiny ex-wife and the other one will think you're perfect. So there's no point in us fighting, if that makes any sense, because I just think there's a part out there that's meant for you. There's a part that's meant for me, and there's plenty of work to go around. So, because I've had some people say to me, why are you teaching people skills to take work away from you? And I'm like, that's not how I view it at all. Nothing would please me more than to find out that one of my students booked some huge campaign. Oh my God, I'd be over the moon because that's just, it's a generosity that I think we all should have. I think in general, though, at least the online voiceover community is very helpful and very supportive.
Oh, absolutely. We met a while ago, and now that people are more working in their own booths in their homes or, you know, private studios, I feel like, and they're aware that due to technology, you can connect with clients all over the world, that there's more than enough to go around due to the technology and just having that awareness. I agree with you that, you know, I've met some lovely, lovely voiceover talent that's very supportive.
Yeah, it's definitely a different story live for the castings that we go into physically in the city. But, you know, I've experienced the same thing you have where they don't speak to me. They look me up and down, and you're just like, well, I don't lose the attitude. We're all in the same ship here. All trying to do the same thing, but I don't know. It's just, it happens, right? I guess it happens in any business.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm so grateful that I met you. And like I said, you were one of the first to be like, oh no, you can do this full time. And I was like, are you sure? So I'm forever grateful. So tell us again how folks can learn about working with you and your site.
They can go to my site, which is lindabruno.com. And there's a tab up top that says Train with Linda, and that'll take you over to my Voiceover Guru site. But anyone is, you know, you feel free to contact me. You can email me through my website. But it's just, yeah, lindabruno.com, pretty straightforward. I do Skype lessons if you're not in the Long Island area. Just recently I started to do weekend workshops for people that either are just trying to explore if they even want to dip their toe in the world of voiceovers. Maybe they have no idea. You know, like we discussed before, a lot of people don't realize what it takes to do this business. But, you know, having a nice voice is like such a small percentage of the big pie here. You know, it's really, you are the product. So you have to spend the time to market yourself. You have to invest in yourself with the equipment, you know, with the classes and then some marketing, a website, and you're starting a business and the product is you.
Yeah. I wish that someone would have told me when I first got into this business that this is a business. So, you know what it means to have your own business, take a class or talk to someone at the very least that's run their own business, because man, that is so true. You can't have an employee mindset where you're going to get a paycheck every 2 weeks. That's for sure.
Oh God, no. And you need to also be very comfortable with the fact that you may go for long periods of time without having any income coming in.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just a reality of it, that it's also going to take time to build up a client base so you can have those recurring clients, you know. Yeah. So, and I don't try to deter people from doing it, you know, heck no. I always say, if you love doing voiceovers and you love this whole craft of working on your voice and building your own business, then jump in with both feet, and also have the realization though that it's going to take time.
So I want to close by asking you, Maya Angelou says, words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with deeper meaning. What do you hope your voice conveys in voiceover as well as in life?
In voiceover, authenticity and genuineness, is that a word? A genuineness. An authentic and a caring warmth that I think would just extend from how I try to live my life to begin with. you know, I'd love bringing people together in whatever format it is, if it's for classes or for a party, or just the idea of being able to share the same space without digital means is very appealing to me. So I don't know, if my voice can convey some sort of authenticity and help someone connect to something, then that would make me happy.
Oh, I know it has. Thank you so much, Linda Bruno, for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you, Tina.
Thanks so much for listening in. Join me next week for episode 26, where I'll be talking with voiceover talent, Joe Zija. Joe is an incredible talent who's quickly built his career in video games, promos, and more. He's also an accomplished sci-fi writer and served in the U.S. military. We'll be talking about how his vast experience influences his career today, his process, and so much more. Until then, here's to owning our voices.